on DAB Digital Radio, Digital TV, downloads and online.
This is 5 Live.
Hello and welcome to an extra edition of the Movie Podcast. Kevin Spacey stars in the new film Recount, which chronicles the weeks after the 2000 US presidential election and the subsequent recounts in Florida. And he came in and he explained what was going on. Now, here come some words that you might not have heard for about 8 years, but they're about to re-enter your life. Hanging or dimpled chads. When was the last time you heard about that, Mark Kermode?
I think it was about 8 years ago, wasn't it, Simon?
Well, it was about 8 years ago. That's because of the extraordinary events at the 2000 presidential election in the United States of America, what was happening in Florida. It's all been reenacted and made for an HBO movie, and Kevin Spacey is the man who stars in it. Kevin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Very well.
I had completely forgotten about how we became obsessed with chads. We'd never heard... Yes, chads. Not chads.
Chad.
Yeah, the plural of chad is chad. If you learn nothing else watching the movie last night.
No.
The plural... He says it in the movie. Okay. Somebody says chads, and he says the plural of chad is chad.
I must have paused it at that point. So that's ridiculous. That's like sheep and moose.
That's just one of the many examples of things that were completely absurd about that 36-day battle.
Okay, so before we get into the difference between whether it's dimpled or whether it's hanging, just explain the story, explain the character that you play that played out in this film, Recount.
Well, I play a guy named Ron Klain, who was Al Gore's chief of staff for a period of time and then was running the campaign, was then kicked off the campaign, and then asked to come back to sort of handle rapid response to the media. At which he did, and on election day, he supposed that if Gore won, he was going to go back to his law firm, and if Gore lost, he was going to go back to his law firm. And it turned out that he became sort of the guy on the ground in Florida. He was the first on the ground. He was the last to leave, and he spearheaded the whole 36-day battle on behalf of the vice president.
What was the essential problem with the vote in Florida?
The essential problem was that on election night, when you have a margin of victory as small as it was between Bush and Gore, it was some 1,700 votes, you, in our laws, have what they call an automatic machine recount. It's essentially one of the candidates or both candidates, but by law, say, look, we have to do a recount because the margin of victory is so small. That means that in 67 counties, they've got to put their ballots back through the machines and recount them. And this was supposed to have taken place, although in 18 counties they decided not to do it. And then you get a different vote, and then there were problems in certain counties where, because of the way in which the ballot had been designed, in which on one side, the left side, you had a number of candidates and then an arrow and a hole to punch for them, and on the right side you had a number of candidates.
An awful lot of attention in this movie because it's a very dense film in terms of explaining what happens, but a lot of it comes down to the way government is organized in Florida and the different counties and how the Supreme Court works with the governor and the Secretary of State. It's quite a complex picture to paint, isn't it?
Well, it was, I think, a very confusing time, certainly while those people were there, and I think it's even confusing for a lot of people today. It's a bit vague, and I think what we've tried to do with the film is to make not a sort of political lecture, but a thriller. I mean, it actually plays more like a roller coaster ride because they didn't know which way it was going one day to the next. And I think Danny Strong did a terrific job in terms of all the research he did. There were four main books that were written that this film was based on, and then loads and loads of interviews with all of the key players. And I also think what will surprise people is that it's also quite funny because it is so outrageous.
Recount is the movie done for HBO, which means how does it get distributed? Kevin, is this just for television? Does it get any cinematic release? Or what?
No, it doesn't get cinematic release in the United States or anywhere else for that matter. It's done for HBO, which is a major cable network in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we kind of like everything that's on HBO in general over here.
Yeah, I'm delighted that they're making movies like this because this is the kind of film that the studios would have done in the 1970s and they aren't touching anymore. And I think one of the reasons why the decision was made to do it for HBO was that we really wanted people to see it. And we didn't want to be sitting around with our fingers crossed hoping for a good first weekend. This ensures that it gets multiple showings on multiple channels. It's going to be shown here. I believe it starts tonight on More 4. It's shown in other television networks around Europe and around the world. So it's a real opportunity to just not be its success is not deemed by box office.
I know that much has been made in some of the coverage that I've read of the, to try and make it a non-partisan film or an even-handed film anyway. But I think an awful lot of people, whatever that wherever their political sympathies are, will watch this and howl with outrage very at regular intervals, because ultimately, the end of the film, thousands, tens of thousands of voters in Florida were illegally barred from voting, and thousands of people had their votes weren't counted. Now, whatever side of the political divide you're on, that's an outrage, isn't it?
Well, there's no doubt there were two differing philosophies about how to go about this. The Democrats wanted the votes to be counted, and the Republicans didn't. Now, one can reach conclusions as to why they would have been on those sides of this issue, but I think at the end of the day, we have tried to make a film that although you follow a Democrat, the truth is that that just dramatically makes more sense because they were always the underdogs, and so you just dramatically usually follow the underdog.
One other thing before Mark enters the fray, Catherine Harris, the Secretary of State for Florida. Now, I remember reading about her. I remember hearing this stuff in the year 2000. Now, this is an extraordinary character in this story who, the way I understood it watching it last night, she's an idiot. She's vain and she's stupid and she's partisan. That's how she comes over. Did I get that wrong?
I think she was, without question, over her head.
I got it right then. You're trying to be diplomatic, but that's how she comes over in this film. Is that... That's how it was.
I think that almost anyone that watched some of her on television, she became quite a lightning rod for a lot of people. I think the movie is filled with people who were perhaps unqualified for the positions they were in.
Like her.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, the thing is, it's not just that she's unqualified. I mean, as played by Laura Dern, you know, she is positively scary. And the question of... the unbiased nature. I think the most interesting line in the film, well, I mean, I think the film's riveting because I think that whole debacle of what happened, actually, it's interesting. During the course of watching the movie, you just become worn down by it. You become worn down by the ridiculousness of, you know, at one point, the recounting being held up so they can decide whether or not the recounting can carry on. At the point, they say it can carry on, but it can't because you've now been held up for so long that you can't finish the recounting,
right,
which is like Alice in Wonderland. But there's a very important line in the film in which your character says, I don't even know if I like Al Gore.
Yeah.
And I think, no, but I think it's really important because I think actually behind all of this, while I'm watching it, is the sense that not only did this terrible thing happen, but it shouldn't have ever come down to this. I mean, I do think that there is a certain amount of blame that must be taken for all this by Gore's failure to do any better than that, because in the end, it shouldn't have come down to that state.
Well, I think the movie is hard on Gore, and I think it should be.
Good.
Because I think that, you know, in hindsight, as we sit here today, it's easy to say, well, if, you know, because I know Ron Klain went through a lot of this, you know, for a long time of, oh, if I'd only done this, mm-hmm. if we'd only done that. The truth is that Gore and Klain both on election night actually wanted to call for a statewide hand recount, which is really what should have happened from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But we're convinced by lots of others on the team that this would be essentially a political street fight in 67 different counties. You'd have to go to court. You'd have to go to each of these canvassing boards. You'd have to convince them to do a hand recount. And they said, let's not do that. That'll take forever. And I think in many ways, perhaps the underestimation of the Gore team, of the American public's patience to go through this process until we could determine who the president of the United States was. I think the American public would have waited until January 19th. But there were all these safe harbor dates and all, you know, I think there was an over-concern about what journalists were writing, what editorials were writing. What I think they never really took into account that the American public would have waited.
But ultimately, if Gore had carried his home state, if he carried Nashville,
none of this would have
been fine.
Yeah, that is also true.
There was also, I thought, in the back of it, an echo of that line from, you know, Beyond the Sea, that people people hear what they see. But there is, because there's the sense of all this stuff is playing out. And as Simon said, the rational response is you go back and count the votes. I mean, there really isn't any question. You either do count the votes or you don't. But there becomes a point in which people are going on television saying, look, they're just gerrymandering. They're just messing around. They're just, and actually, in the end, people start to hear what they see. They see the appearance of somebody apparently being a bad loser. And then people just lose patience. I think that's incredibly depressing part of it.
Yeah, and you know, look, what's interesting now, one of the, we were invited by James Baker when we were doing press for the film on HBO in America to come down to Rice University and screen the movie and then do a panel discussion with former President Jimmy Carter about election reform. And the most interesting thing is James Baker is fighting to change laws that were to his advantage in the year 2000, that he, like for example, Catherine Harris as Secretary of State, that no one who is a Secretary of State, who is a, you know, the person in each state who decides, who declares who the winner of that state is, should also be a campaign chairman for one of the candidates, which in this case, she was George Bush's co-chair of his campaign in Florida. There was a clear conflict of interest. And yet, she didn't recuse herself and was allowed to make decisions that, quite frankly, were clearly biased.
Although she did say, I've put a firewall around the office. I have cut off all communication.
Yeah, except the Republicans then stuck an operative in her office for the entire 36 days.
Well, it's okay. He was inside the firewall.
Yeah,
he was protected by
the
firewall,
right.
So I feel that you know it was balanced.
And let's mention prominent roles here for a couple of big British actors. Tom Wilkinson playing James Baker. Extraordinary. And John Hurt playing Warren Christopher. Yeah. So... And the idea of, I never thought of Tom Wilkinson playing James Baker ever.
But he's great, isn't
Fantastic.
He? He's absolutely great.
Well, the other person who's really great is Ed Begley. I think Ed Begley is, you know, hugely underrated. And he's really, really fun. In fact, in many ways, he gets to carry the kind of the moral center of the film because he is the guy who really knows.
Yeah, he plays the lawyer who went before the Supreme Court, David Boyce, who, in
he's
fact...
The, he's the ice cream eating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Does
and
he really
in fact,
eat?
Yeah, he really does.
Okay.
And in fact... When he looks so much like Ed Begley, or vice versa, that when we were in Washington, D.C. to do a screening, I saw who I thought was Ed Begley coming down the street, and it turned out to be David Bowie.
So, and we know over here you've been associated with the Clintons. You're a friend of the Clintons. That's how the last time we had any association of you with big kind of politics. What do you make of this particular race, Kevin, that's boiling up? We're off to America next week. We're doing five shows in five different states just to hear the voice from Main Street. What's your assessment based from old London town?
Well, I, you know, it's interesting what you said about people hear what they see.
I think you said it first and I was quoting you.
Yeah, it's...
But you like that hearing it coming back.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
kind of
it's nice. Yeah, it's kind of now nice. It's a reciprocal thing. Okay, carry on.
Look, it's fascinating for me to watch... this election from a distance. You know, I live full time in London, and it's a perspective on it that I rather enjoy. I'm not in the middle of it all. I think it's much different when you live in the United States and you get sort of the 24-hour news cycle. It's just constantly in your face, and things shift because of something someone says, and then it's on the news for 48 hours, and then someone says something else, and it shifts, and the polls go up and they go down. I mean, my hope is that on November 4th, that American citizens will take a hard look at the last 8 years, take a hard look at the next 8 years. You know, we're in an incredibly difficult moment, and it isn't going to be easy no matter who inherits that job. Things aren't going to become rosy overnight. So let's make the smartest choice that we can. And my personal opinion is that Sarah Palin is a 72-year-old heartbeat away from the presidency is probably not where we should go as a country.
You have a postal vote?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Does that mean you get to vote early?
No. You just vote. Well, I think you vote a couple of days early. Yeah. It has to get in.
Some emails here to Kevin. Darren on this. Darren Heath. Simon, I saw the film on a flight earlier this week and felt like crying. What a different world we'd live in had those votes been counted. It is a what-if film, isn't it, really? Mm. A great film and important that it was made. DB on this. Recount only got 1 million viewers when it was shown on HBO. Liberal Hollywood has spent a great deal of time and effort and money producing anti-Bush films in the past couple of years, and nearly all have bombed. Is Kevin dispirited by this? It amuses the hell out of me.
I don't think this film is an anti-Bush film, number one. I think it is an accurate a portrayal of what happened in an electoral process in the United States. The outcome is the outcome. You know, we can't change that. However, I think that HBO doesn't measure a single night in the ratings in the way that other networks do. They look over a long period of time, over multiple showings and multiple channels. So I actually think that it's now been viewed by many more people than a million.
John in Matlock in Derbyshire, how will we know if Recount is a box office success? Will we have to wait 37 days for them to finalise the first weekend box office receipts? This is an important point, which has gone underreported. Rob Cookson, Kevin Spacey is one of the greatest living American actors. He made me laugh my bottom off in K-Pax, frighten my bottom off in Seven, and stun my bottom off in LA Confidential. P.S. Does he want to read my screenplay? And in Northern Ireland, tell Mr. Spacey I was sitting directly behind him at a play in New York in July called The Country Girl, starring Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Okay. It was a good experience and something to tell my grandkids, but please, could he remove his hat next time?
I did remove my hat.
You're wearing your hat now?
Yes, I am. But if I have a hat like this, then...
Kind of a flat cap.
Yeah, it's a flat cap. You can see right over it. But if I'm wearing a different kind of hat, I always take my hat off. Yeah.
Somebody once asked me to take my hair off.
Really?
I went into a screening, into a press screening, and Alan Frank from the Daily Star, who I like, was behind me. And I came in and I sat down, and Alan Frank went, "Oh, not Kermode's hair." And he got up and really noisily, kind of, you know, had to move out of the way. He said, "I can't sit behind your hair." Bless him.
Helen in Northolt. I've mentioned this before, actually. I went to see a Van Morrison concert, which the BBC were doing, and I was sitting behind Hardeep Singh Kohli, who, as I've mentioned on this program before, has the biggest turban in the history of turbans.
And it's pink.
And I had to say, Hardeep, I can't see the stage. It filled my vision. And so he had to go down. He had to slouch down, so that otherwise I couldn't see Van the Man. Helen in Northolt. Simon, could you tell Kevin he's doing a great job at the Old Vic? I saw the production of Moon for the Misbegotten. Would he ever, or is he planning to do a movie filmed in Britain? Kevin is a real quality talent, in the opinion.
I have done a movie filmed in Britain, which will actually, I believe it's going to debut at the London Film Festival, written and directed by Nick Moran, based on his play Telstar, which is the story of Joe mm-hmm. Meek, who is a record producer and sound genius, with Pam Ferris. And a whole group of James Corden is in it, and very funny, as you would expect. I play his financial backer, Major Banks. There's a joke in there somewhere.
I got it, yep. Yeah. It is interesting how Joe Meek has suddenly had this kind of great, because in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, a lot of people have been rediscovering the extraordinary and slightly psychotic majesty of Joe Meek. But for a long time, people did kind of completely forget about him. It was really weird.
Well, it's an amazing story of what he achieved and how he did it, because he wasn't in like a recording studio like this. I mean, he had a flat and would put different sections of an orchestra or a band in, like, the closet was the violin, and in the shower were the backup singers, and mm-hmm. he had the entire house wired, and came up with extraordinary sounds and had, you know, repeated number one hits, Telstar being obviously the title of the film.
Very inspirational, in fact, Simon, in the career of the Kommsat Angels.
Oh,
just
good.
No, it's true. I mean, I was led to that like a horse to water. It's true.
Soapboxes already. Nicola, and not in the presence of stars, please. Okay.
But you shouldn't refer to yourself as a star.
Mark has many soapboxes.
Johnny!
Nicholas.
Yeah, but that's a horror movie soundtrack, isn't it? I mean, that really is.
Nicholas Horwood on this. Can you please thank Kevin for setting up the Trigger Street website, which has proved an invaluable resource for myself and many other struggling screenwriters and filmmakers.
Do you know about this site?
I don't know.
This is something I started 6 years ago with my business partner, Dana Brunetti. And it's essentially a platform for undiscovered talent. And they can upload their short films or upload their screenplays, but they have to participate in the site. And so you've got to read, rate, review either 2 screenplays or watch, rate, review 2 films in order to upload your own material. And then the community, which is about 300,000 now around the world, they pick the top 10. And we've been taking those top 10 then to film festivals like Tribeca or Sundance and give them a screening and an opportunity. And then some of them get awards and cameras.
So it's Trigger Street?
TriggerStreet.com.
Matt in Swindon. Good afternoon, Harry and Sally. After seeing Kevin on the Actors Studio, I was wondering if we could have him persuade the listeners to watch Recount tonight using his Christopher Walken impression.
It's crazy. It's a crazy movie. You gotta watch. It's funny. Ha ha.
There you go. That'll do. Do you know what time it's on?
I have no idea.
All my watches has gone crazy since Mandelson.
That's true. That's true. 9 o'clock or more form. Apparently is the answer. Dear Jamie and his magic torch, this is Matt in Dewsbury. I watched Recount about a month ago. I have to say it is outstanding. Kevin is simply excellent, but the whole cast is stunning. The scenes in Miami with a Republican hate mob made me so angry for the world. Maybe every US TV network should show it the day before the election just to make sure that this type of theft never happens. Again, I recommend Recount to everyone. What's different? What's changed since 2000, Kevin?
Well, they no longer have the punch card ballot, but in some states they've gone to a punch screen ballot, but in some cases there is no paper trail. So even if you had to do a recount, you couldn't. We haven't got it right. I don't think a situation like what happened in Florida could ever happen again, but I do think that we need to, you know, if we're going to stand up and say, hey, we're the... Look at America. We do it right. You know, we know how to do elections. Then we really do owe it to ourselves to get it done better.
And you know, we've messed up elections here as well. But do you think? I mean, I always think there's a lot to be said for the stubby pencil. You know,
listen,
you go in and vote, and there's a piece of pencil.
I'm with you. I mean, you know, I know in this incredible world of technology, this may sound incredibly naive, but what happened to just checking a box and then counting those up?
It's just so old-fashioned.
I know, Kevin.
Norman Conquest. Just a word on that. Pleased with how that's going?
Well,
I love Norman Conquest. I saw it years and years ago at in Nottingham at the Playhouse there, and I saw one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Saw the whole thing.
You can do that again here. We have about 12 trilogy days where you can see all three plays in the course of one day. I'm enormously delighted to be able to bring Alan Ayckbourn back, and particularly these plays because they were really his diamonds in 1974, and have never been done in London since. He never gave the rights for 34 years. I think Matthew Warchus, our director, who also directed Jeff Goldblum and I in Speed the Plow, has done an extraordinary job with a really great cast, Steve Mangan and Paul Ritter, and it's an extraordinary ensemble. And also what we've done at the Old Vic, which has never been done in its history, is we've completely reconfigured the theater into a theater in the round. For its first time, to honor the way they were originally done in Scarborough. And it's just an extraordinary way to watch a play.
I love the way Americans say Scarborough.
Scarborough Fair.
It's fantastic.
Edinburgh.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And Irene says, damn, I've just realized I'm missing Recount on More 4 tonight because I'm going to be at the Good Doctor's band's gig at the Borderline in London.
Oh, fantastic. Is that the Borderline in London that the Dodge Brothers are playing at?
The Good Doctor here is in a skiffle band called the Dodge Brothers.
Yeah. Do you know what skiffle is?
No.
You know American jug band music?
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's British skiffle is the British, what happened to it when Ken Collier and, you know, that's skiffle is what happened to it.
Irene says, what you do on your Friday nights.
Well, I do it on other nights other than Friday nights. I'm a double bassist. Can't you tell by the way I hold myself?
I wasn't watching you hold yourself.
Hey,
thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.